Welcome to the League of Liberty. My name is Chris Spangle, and we are live at Porkfest. We are performing in front of a crowd of thousands. My name is Chris Spangle from the We Are Libertarians podcast. Right next to me is the lovely, effervescent Roger Paxton.
It's great to be here.
From the Lava Flow. Right down the line is the beautiful long-haired Mark Clare from the Lions of Liberty with the perfect mane.
Thank you.
And now that I'm seeing it in person,
Is it everything you wanted it to be?
It's glorious.
Thank you. Johnny Adams from...
It's the hair version of Roger's beard.
Oh, yeah. Roger's beard.
Imagine this on that. Oh. Or vice versa. That would be incredible.
Yeah, fucked up looking beard.
That voice is Johnny Adams from the... previously known as the Johnny Rocket launch pad, and now blast off with Johnny Rocket.
That is a firm titty. Yep.
All right.
Affirmative. I'm affirmative.
That is Johnny. Johnny is the sweetest human being I've ever met in my life.
Like, he grabbed my ass. I still can't get over that. He full on grabbed my ass last night.
Like,
he doesn't even remember. I don't remember.
Would you like to?
It must have been some really good drinking last night. It was a really good ass grab. I'm going to be honest. I got man hands, dude. That's
would you? Would you like to file a Me Too complaint?
No, I enjoyed it.
Okay, all right. Now,
hashtag Me Too, Roger Paxton.
Right. The last person I would think would file a Me Too complaint, but Roger...
Please, molest me. Please.
All right. Ladies...
Just made Johnny spit out his gin and tonic at 11:30 a.m.
Now, we are overlooking... What mountains are these, Roger?
These are the White Mountains.
The White Mountains.
White Mountains?
I am so triggered right now.
They look green to me.
How dare you assume the race of these mountains?
I assume nothing.
Okay. This is a beautiful, beautiful location. We are in the north part of New Hampshire, in Lancaster, New Hampshire, in the Rogers campground, not yours, but...
No, but the first time we came, my kids thought it was mine. They were so excited.
Well, so I checked in at the hotel, the Lancaster Motor Inn, and it's...
That's a classy joint.
It is.
cocktails, beverages.
So
you got servers, waitresses.
Let me tell you about my check-in experience because it was kind of funny. So I had looked online, just scoping it out to see what I would get. The hotel. Someone asked if it's nice, and it's nice, but in like a 50s drive-in motel way. It's it's not like a a Hyatt. It's cute. And so I had looked online at the place, and you see the lobby. And then when I walked in last night, I had the worst deja vu. Because I had a dream that I was rescuing my grandmother from her nursing home from zombies. And the nursing home looked like the lobby of the Lancaster Motor Inn. I told the check-in person at the hotel that, and she didn't like that I called it a nursing home. But she goes, I understand. I go, I'm sorry.
We get this all the time.
Yeah. And so she goes, so what are you here for? I said, I'm going to Porkfest. And she goes, okay, I've lived here my entire life. I've heard of this, but I don't know what it is. What is it? And I said, it's a gathering of libertarians and anarchists. It's a political thing. Everybody gets together and has a good time. She goes, oh, I thought that was a pot thing. And I go, that too.
Yes, pretty much.
Right.
Among other things.
But I don't know about, Roger's been here a bunch, but Mark, Johnny, I've been having a great time since I've been here.
Well, I'm so glad.
And Chris, you don't do anything.
I'm not boring, but I am boring, yeah.
Like no alcohol, no weed,
Johnny,
no LSD.
This is driving Johnny nuts. Johnny,
like I am, like seriously, dude, we got to get you to drink.
We have been trying all night last night.
Talk about this in further depth. Now it was floated last night that Chris is considering perhaps consuming some marijuana this weekend.
Yeah,
how are we feeling about that?
Can you join the whiskey challenge?
No.
So I
you
have
can do the one person marijuana challenge.
You don't want to see Chris Spangle drunk.
No, I would be crying and angry and laughing all at once. It would be the most. It
In
would
fact,
be
emotional cornucopia. You could do it now.
No. So here's the thing. I have a personal prohibition against alcohol. I don't care if you guys drink. Obviously, we're friends. You can do what you want. But I just don't, for lineage of long line of alcoholics in my family. I have an addictive personality. I bought some a family size peanut M&M thing at the gas station last night. I decided I had one. It tasted good. And then I put all of them in my mouth at once. And that's how I approach life. And I know that if I drank, I would have a problem. Now, when it comes to pot, I don't have that same aversion because I think you can control it a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty much non-addictive.
Yeah,
some people can control it.
As an unruly Howie cannot. Literally chokes on marijuana.
One of the Lions of Liberty cast members literally just as we said that started.
We will leave his name unsaid.
But I floated the idea
the most Howie thing ever.
Of doing marijuana.
You've got to do the marijuana this
at Pork
weekend.
Fest.
You have to.
Because I think that'd be a funny story.
It would be an incredible story. Yeah. And if you do that, I don't care where I am, make sure that I'm notified.
It could
I am
be
not
a funny
this.
Story, Chris.
It could be on
it
live
be
on
a
the
funny
air.
Story.
Now, here's what I have decided.
Atlas to the front office. Atlas to the front office.
Atlas is my radio handle while I'm here this week.
You cannot shrug this Atlas.
I have so many people who want to see me get drunk or high that I think that if I held a charity event and did a live show and got high during the live show, I could raise a lot of money for charity.
You could. That is the best thing to do. And actually, yeah. I'm going to have a charity in the opposite direction. Like, can Johnny not drink or smoke
for a month
during a show? Day. And then the same day, so he's getting fucked up and drunk. And I'm going to be sober and watch how this is going to be a shit show.
Just read me devotionals.
Human action in the corner for 12 hours.
So I'm not going to smoke weed this weekend, but because I want to, when I do it. I'm sorry. I know. I'm a downer. But
no, you're an upper.
Listen, one of us had to be sober to host this. You three,
that's true.
You three are a mess. So
I'm on duty. I
might need you to host my show later. To be honest,
yeah, we have a rule: when you're on duty, you have to be sober.
Johnny walked in like he was literally dead, and then he came in like a walker, going,
and he's been that way ever since.
Right. Now, Johnny, I saved Johnny's life yesterday. I'm a hero, okay?
You are a hero.
I need
And actually, you are actually a big hero because I was sitting around trying to find cigarettes somewhere, and I tapped out of resources. You get to that point where they're like, fuck you, dude, get away. You know, the average person up here at Porkfest.
There's only so many hand jobs you can give out.
No, there's only so many. I'm like, my hand was starting to hurt. I'm like, Mark, take over. He's like, sure.
Every man at Porkfest was spent. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and so Mark actually posted on my wall, which is a weird.
That was the best way to get a hold of you.
Yeah, and
a public Facebook post.
And so I was like, I didn't know if it was a joke or not. No. And then before I got here, it was literally Mark posted, no, really, you need to help Johnny. He's a mess. And when I brought a drunk Johnny Adams some cigarettes for the first time in a half a day, I was molested. I mean, he went full Cosby on me.
I did.
Yeah, he was.
Put some dope in your drink, and the next thing you know, you're passed out. took advantage of you, man.
But to be clear, he has been molesting multiple men this week.
Oh,
so multiple.
He's just Johnny is very touchy feely, and not in a bad way. Not in a bad way.
And we love it. Yeah,
yeah. He loves to give hugs.
We all consent. I consent for the next 3 days.
Hugs, not drugs. Hugs, not drugs, guys.
Oh no, this is Porkfest. You can do both.
Hugs and drugs.
As long as you get consent.
We're in the free state.
Mark, what's your impression of Roger in person? Because we know Johnny's touchy, but Roger cracks me up because like we're talking last night about sports, and Roger goes, "I don't like any sports. Well, I like boxing because it's violence with consent." And I was like, "Is there ever a moment where you don't talk about the non-aggression principle?"
Not very often, actually. I mean, I'm raising kids, so that's something I have to talk about.
You know why I love boxing? Because they consented to it. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want to beat the shit out of each other.
He's all fired up.
He's so fired up.
I mean, if two people want to beat the shit out of each other, that's great as long as they're okay with it. I don't have a problem with it. You know, if there's blood on the floor, everything's great.
I think that, to your question, the interesting thing about meeting everybody in person is everyone actually is exactly how they are on the internet.
Right.
Literally.
Yeah.
We could have stayed home, guys.
So I'm an asshole. Gotcha.
Yeah, we're all
fucking flamingos out, and I have like a picture. There's a flamingo. If you walk from the Cabot Inn and you walk up to here, there's that flamingo on the side of the road. I actually took a picture of me fucking it.
Of course you did.
We should clarify. Mock fucking it.
Yes.
His dick was out.
My girlfriend actually said, put your dick away. I'm taking a picture now.
Let's give a round of applause for Johnny's girlfriend.
Yes.
Yes.
She is definitely the better half.
Patreon only show.
So she's a saint. She's quite the saint.
Everybody has to be to put up with Johnny, right?
So those...
You know what she said to me? Okay, this is hilarious.
She said a lot of things to you this weekend.
Oh, yeah, she did. She goes, take your fucking boots out of the house, right? Because my feet stink so bad. My boots are like literally outside. I have to go outside like an nice. Outhouse to put my boots on. She's like, no, they're not going to be in this room. Yeah, so thanks Porkfest for that. Thank you.
That's a condition or something, isn't it? Yeah. You need to see a doctor maybe.
It's trench foot. You wouldn't know about that.
No, I
you
have...
You kill that with alcohol, but Chris wouldn't know about that either.
No, I'm very fastidious. I got a hotel. I was like, you can camp. Okay, but I don't want to pretend to be poor for a few days. I need a shower every day. I need to, you know... So it's just... Yeah.
It takes a lot of work to look like this.
It does. You know how handsome I am in real life? Tell him, Johnny.
Yeah, you're really handsome.
He's a beautiful human being.
Thank you.
Inside, he's a beautiful human being.
So what have been...
If you guys expected Liberty Talk, we don't do that on this show.
No.
Because when we do, Roger and Chris fight. So we just bullshit for about an hour every month.
Chris and I are on an embargo. We are not fighting during Porkfest.
Yes.
That's it's just not happening.
No.
Temporary ceasefire.
Yes.
If you will.
Yeah.
One thing that I do want to do, so please feel free to come up and ask a question. I want to do an Ask Me Anything. I heard Sovereign Tech do this last night and I thought it was kind of fun. So if there is anything, like an Ask Me Anything, it doesn't have to be political. It can be, you know, like last night on Sovereign Tech, they asked, if you could time travel, where would you time travel to? Just funny questions that the four of us could answer. That'd be great.
And don't
Guam has been in a permanent time, you know, fix forever.
And don't be afraid to get personal.
Yes. So what have been your impressions of Porkfest, Mark and Johnny?
Oh.
I spent all of yesterday just walking around and drinking with Johnny. And that's how you meet people at Porkfest. You walk around with Johnny, and they all know him from the day before when he high-fived them all drunk. So everyone knows Johnny at Porkfest. So
Johnny is a fucking rock star.
That's really all I've done so far. And then Chris got here, and we hung out. I had a good time. We hung out at the fire, the volcanic fire.
Yep. Flirted with the girl.
I got 4 hours of sleep. We traded flirting with the girl, right. Jess Mears. No. Yeah. I mean, we did.
Now,
we're not going to tell stories about people that aren't here. That's not fair.
Roger,
do that on your own show.
Roger, has Porkfest this year been everything you thought it would be?
Everything and more. This has been, you know, my wife and I worked on the team last year, but, you know, really being involved in all the nuts and bolts this year has been an amazing process. And, you know, we love this shit.
Yeah.
We love this shit. I mean, the first one we came to, we just enjoyed so much. So we're like, okay, let's help make this happen. And so the first time we came to Porkfest, when it was over, we get back home and my kids look at me. My oldest says, that was better than Disney World. And God damn it, I spent $7,000 on Disney World. I couldn't be bringing it to Porkfest all this time. Are you serious right now?
Yeah. Because
that ain't right, man. That ain't right.
Tell me about it. Grateful little
It's the happiest place on earth, and yet this is actually the happiest place on earth.
You know, my kids get so much freedom at Porkfest because we're around people that we trust.
Right.
We know that they aren't going to go off grounds, so they have freedom. I mean, real freedom here.
I split a Rice Krispie treat with one of your kids last night. He seemed fine.
Now, that reminds me of a great story. So our first Porkfest, we were...
Just kidding, I ate it all myself.
He was like three quarters through the way, and I'm like, are you going to finish that? And he's like, oh, yeah, bro.
So two Porkfests ago, my kids were all around the fire. I mean, there's, you know, 1,000 people down there, and on the last night of the fire, it's, you know, everybody's having a great time. People are selling pot cookies and shit. My kid comes up to me with a baggie of cookies. Daddy, I bought some cookies. And I knew that there had been folks selling pot cookies. I'm like, how much did you pay for those cookies? $1. Okay, we're good. But just
what is that the discounted rate for kids?
Well, so anyway,
$5. It's got pot. If it's $1, it doesn't.
Right. Okay, so just to be safe, we walked over to where they were selling the pot cookies, and there's the dude selling pot cookies with his little daughter sitting beside him selling regular cookies.
Nice.
Now that's entrepreneurship for you, right? Let's meet all the demands. I love it.
That's the perfect description, because at Porkfest, it's if you're a kid, if you're running around here, I've seen kids in Superman costumes, and they're just having fun. It's the bounds of their imagination. They can concoct fun in whatever way they see fit. Versus Disneyland,
don't say cock.
Which Disneyland, which is enforced fun. You know, it's all centrally planned. It's fun, but it's not as fun.
Right.
That's That's what this is a safe environment for
them to do those kind of things, and they know that. They they get that sense immediately because this is so different for kids than anything they've really ever experienced before. That freedom, that liberty, and if they have cool parents and they've got real freedom, so this is great for kids. And that's the thing is we try to put this on for everybody from six to drunk and passing out. So
drunk and feeling 75. Yeah.
So you guys look at me. Why is that?
Right. But I mean, we've got something for everybody here, and that's what it's all about.
Well,
Chris, I didn't tell you what I thought about it. I'll tell you.
I think
it's fucking cool. Yeah. You know why? Because I needed a vacation.
Yeah.
And this is the best vacation spot ever. It beats Disneyland too.
It's amazing. Recommend. It's so beautiful.
It's nice, but here's the thing. I think it's also the great people that are here. You know, like you get to meet some people that you would never. The bartender's fucking cool. He gives me free shots, and they're all free.
But now that's VIP access only. Just to be clear.
Yeah. Thank you. Do that next time if you did not. I recommend
it.
It is worth every flipping penny. I almost didn't swear there. All right, fucking penny. But I want to say that this place is really great, and I really enjoy just meeting other libertarians. Some of them smell bad, but that's cool.
Right. Yeah.
Some of them do. Come on now. Well, we all know that guy. We're not going to say who it is.
This is a natural environment.
It's a natural environment.
And that's the thing about being in New Hampshire.
There's more bush here than Kennebunkport.
It's like if you come here, it's like watching a 70s porn.
Well, the great thing about being in New Hampshire is when I was in Arkansas, there's only so many libertarians in these states. So if you're going to hang out with libertarians, you don't have much to choose from. So sometimes you have to hang out with people that you normally wouldn't hang out with if you want to talk libertarianism.
Yeah.
But here in New Hampshire, there's 5,000 of us. And we can pick and choose, and I can pick and choose who I want to hang out with and who I want to spend time with and who I want to call family.
Yeah, you don't have to talk to every libertarian you see here. It's great.
Right. So find me another state that has that.
And I will be candid. I mean, having worked at the Libertarian Party, I didn't have a very good run with anarcho-capitalists over the last 10 years that I've been a libertarian online. And so I've never wanted to come to Porkfest because I'm just like, I don't think I'd get along with anybody there. Because the way that people interact with each other online, I think, is not how people are in real life. And
except
one
for us.
Yeah, and I think it's one thing you got to realize is that regardless of your ideology, I'm not picking on anarchists or libertarians, it's conservatives, it's Democrats. Like, Lord knows the conservatives right now are being heartless dicks on Facebook.
Watch where you're going with this, Chris.
But I'm saying, you have to act online the same way that you act in real life, and that usually is with empathy and friendliness. And coming to a place like this, it doesn't matter what your ideology is. You just see a person and you interact with that person, and that is a great part of this, is that you're interacting with people that you might not choose to interact with online. And so I think that's a great feature of this.
Well, one funny thing that happened last night, which happens a lot in real life, is when you're just out talking to people and you hear someone say something like, "End the Fed." In the real world, you hear someone, you perk up like a puppy. Right. I did that here and I was like, oh wait, I don't need to do that. Everyone around me is going to be saying stuff like that.
Things like taxation is theft. Like,
who said that?
Yeah.
Oh, everyone said that.
Fuck you, Roger. The other thing is this place has a magical quality. Mark and I saw Gravity Defied yesterday.
What'd you guys do?
So there was this guy on a skateboard that didn't look it had an electric motor. It must have been 200 pounds in the skateboard.
He was going uphill with a kid on his back.
And Gravity was defied. I don't know what drugs he mixed to make that happen. But
what drugs did he give me that I saw that?
But I saw Gravity Defied at Porkfest. And I looked at Mark and I go, Porkfest is even better than Roger said it was. We're defying the laws of physics.
You just can't put it into words. You really can't put Porkfest into words.
No, it's been a lot of fun. Go ahead. You guys talk now.
Johnny fucking Adams.
Hey, how you doing? Okay, so I just want to say I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. That was from Tom Waits.
What? Tell us the change in your show. What's going on with
nothing.
That?
Nothing. There's no damn change except for the
name. No. It seems totally different. What happened?
It does?
No, I'm just kidding you.
No, he's I'm like, I never you. Heard it. We haven't even released the fucking show. There's Odermatt.
Oh, shit.
Rolling in. That's JB.
Nice.
Rock and roll, guys. Don't leave without saying hello. Front row seats right next to Howie's up here in front. Rock and roll.
John Odermatt is tall.
Yeah. Have you not ever seen pictures of this tall dude?
No, I never.
You play basketball, John?
I do.
John does play basketball.
He's the center.
So wasn't there supposed to be a game with Eric July until somebody, you know, pussied out?
He's wearing his kicks. He's ready.
Tyler over here, he's one of our $25 supporters on Patreon, has offered to be the third man on the team. So this could still happen.
Nice.
We're willing to accept the replacement.
All right. I would love to see that. So we also challenge.
I will not play basketball ever.
There's also going to be a hill run with Eric July. I think tomorrow at 3.
I just did one hill walk. What is? And I'm still breathing heavy, so I don't think I'm going to participate.
Is Eric July athletic? Or
he is very athletic. He was a track star at my wife's college.
One at a time. Say that again.
He was a track star at my wife's college, University of Memphis. But the hill run, you got this huge hill in front of the pavilion, and they've got they're going to be a hill run tomorrow, I think 3 o'clock. So don't miss that.
I'll go up the first time.
You'll die the first time.
You walk up. Shut up, Mark. You've walked up. The gentle hills, and you're breathing harder than me and Johnny.
That's why I'm not doing the 10 hill run.
You're supposed to be the fit one. And
he looks fit, but actually I ran 2 miles about 2 months ago. No, I did.
Yeah.
17 minutes, 2 miles.
Look at you.
Bad for a white guy. I feel pretty good.
Well, that's kind of why I thought you guys were singling Eric July out. I was like, what is...
My question is, what were you running from?
Right. Yeah. The cops. Now,
I just got to pause and say there's literature up here promoting actual piracy, and this is why Porkfest is awesome.
A coloring book.
There's a mark, there's a comic book, and I think it's a real thing. So
it is a real thing, yeah. It's Ernie Hancock.
They're actual pirates, and I love it.
Yeah, Ernie Hancock knows that stuff.
Let's get some audience participation. Let's
do that.
Everybody, I know you're all shy because you're all introverted libertarians.
You guys all leaving?
Joe, we're going to
pick all the Lions of Liberty are leaving the room, by the way.
Except for Mark.
I got a lot of support here. This is great.
Come on up.
Oh, Nick.
Here. Set the template. Ask a question. Tell us what you want
to
say.
Feel free to get real and personal.
What's your name? My name's Nick. Roger, would you shake Bill Weld's hand?
Ooh. So Nick and I are great friends. Nick was one of the first friends we met.
Nick was the first person to recognize me at Porkfest yesterday. I heard someone yelling my name. I'm like,
nice.
Someone just recognized me.
Because Nick knows me so well, he knows that I would probably turn my back on Bill Weld. Unless Bill Weld offered me his hand first, and then out of courtesy, I would shake his hand and then tell him what a douchebag he is.
Now, Roger, remember when we were just saying that I came to Porkfest to meet people that I don't necessarily always agree with?
Yes.
And now that's a good thing.
Is Bill Weld here?
Why are you not giving the same respect to Bill Weld?
No,
Mr. Weld, if you wouldn't mind coming up from the back. You guys can't see himself, but he's actually here.
Where's the booze?
Look, I respect people.
On the freezer, Bill.
I don't respect people just based on being people. I respect people who deserve respect. And I think that anybody who's going to come into a party and try to, you know, be the standard bearer for the party when he had barely read he just read the platform 2 weeks before. He had no clue what he was doing. He's clearly not a libertarian.
He was the original, though.
Oh, kiss me.
The OGs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, that to me, that's not somebody that I want to respect. I'm sorry, because I think that is a terrible thing to do. Oh, and there's my lovely wife.
Yay.
Bringing us all water. So let me just tell you.
Thank you so much.
Let me just tell you all, Porkfest would not have happened this year without this lovely woman. So this woman did 90% of all the organization for this. So thank you, baby. I love you. She rocked it this year, guys. She rocked it.
You know what, Roger? You have the
most.
She is a. You have a very beautiful wife.
Thank you, thank you.
Dude, she is just a doll.
Do you want to say, Jessica? Do you want to say something on the air?
Yeah, Jessica, come ask us a question.
Come sit in the chair of doom.
Oh, come on, the chair.
Ask us a question.
The chair of doom, because we are the League of Liberty.
Come sit in the chair of doom, right next to me.
Oh shit! Where is everybody?
That's okay. That's all right. Well, just a couple minutes now, Jessica. Do you have a therapist?
No.
All right.
Do you have to say taxation is theft before you guys go to bed every night?
I'm starting.
Do you guys
that's the only way she can get me hot. No, I'm kidding.
Do you guys in New Hampshire actually have a therapist? Is that an available skill or is there like?
Is praxeology your safe word?
Taxation is theft.
Now, what's it like living with Roger Paxton?
Wait, remember you have to go to bed.
What day of the week are we talking about? Wednesday at noon. Like, what is it like living with Roger Paxton, like on, you know, June 3rd at 2:42 p.m.? Because that may be different than it. No, it's awesome.
Of course it is.
He's amazing.
She's got to go to bed with me tonight, so she knows how to answer these questions.
Yeah, he pays the bills, right?
I used to pay the bills anyway.
He did.
How many times a day does Roger say voluntary?
It depends on the day, Chris. If it's a day he's recording, probably 473. Or if it's it's about 432.
Right, right.
So
depends on the day. If I have to teach my kids something, then I use it quite a bit. Yeah.
When you got married, did you make the preacher say, "Do you consent"?
When we got married,
yes. This is interesting.
I still considered myself a Democrat, and he still considered himself a Republican.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was on the verge. Indeed. I was also a just not far off of being a Pentecostal preacher, and so a lot changed in those few years that we were.
We have, it's kind of been good that we've gone on this journey together. Otherwise, we
could have gone sideways real quick.
Yeah, our kids are probably happy about that. So.
Well, you know, we had to meet somewhere, so we kind of tried to meet in the middle. But,
well, we did. We sort of pointed out the inconsistencies in each other's arguments, and then one day we were like,
We're both idiots.
We're pretty much both idiots. Yeah. So it just sort of happened that we hopped on the train together and sort of figured it out.
And it's been an amazing journey.
Yeah, really.
And now we have Pork Fest. So.
I know. It's so much fun.
And you guys are like the president and the first lady of Pork Fest, honestly. Give it up for Roger Paxton.
Well, Jess, thank you for joining us. To the Michelle Obama of Porkfest, everyone give a round of applause.
Oh, thank you.
Her cookbook will be available.
Do your wave. Do your wave.
It's more effective when I'm on the golf cart and I drive by and do the wave.
Right. And you're surrounded by Secret Service.
Who do I got to get a hand job to get a golf cart for about an hour?
You aren't getting a golf cart.
You have to be a coordinator who puts in about 500 hours of volunteer work. Right.
Chris,
are you just a
good exercise man?
I self-identify as someone who organized Pork Fest. Give me a cart or you're you're literally Hitler.
No.
Oh, damn it. See, I'll listen to her. She loves you. All right, everybody. Jess Paxton. Woo! All right, somebody else from the crowd, come sit in the chair of doom. What's
Not sleeping with one of us now.
Another good friend of mine from the Free Coast part of New Hampshire, Brent Tweed.
Yep, all right.
Other than Roger, are any of you considering moving to New Hampshire?
I'll be the first to answer a definitive no. I'll be honest. I love it here for 3 days or 4 days. I went fly fishing for a few days before I came here. That was boring as fuck. But I love my dad, so I did it for him. Honestly, I love where I live. And I really feel that being happy should be the priority in life. And if you're forcing yourself to live somewhere you really don't want to for political reasons, then you're actually maybe fighting your own freedom in a bit by trying to put yourself into a box that you don't really feel comfortable in. I love being here. I love hanging out with you guys. I know that in the winter months, I would be miserable as all hell. Yeah. Something I've learned about it myself is 70 and sunny is what makes me happy. So that's where I live, where it's 70 and sunny. I literally get miserable during dark, cold, dreary months. I don't want to feel miserable.
Yeah, so, and absolutely. I mean, New Hampshire is not for everybody. And that's absolutely the
There's
case.
A snowmobile museum half a mile from here. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not living where there's a snowmobile museum.
It's really not that bad. I mean, look, I moved here from Arkansas. Never saw, I mean, you know, barely any snow in my entire life.
Right.
The first one was
for
pretty
education.
Rough. Yeah, pretty much. The first year was pretty rough because it was brand new. I didn't know how to deal with it and everything. But by the second year, I mean, you know, I'm an old hat. And really, in the summer, we hibernated. I mean, in the South, we hibernated in the summer. Here, we hibernate in the winter. It's no different.
Yeah. Go ahead, Johnny. You go next.
Well, I was just saying that, like, it's kind of like Vegas. You don't want to live here. You just want to visit. And I respect Vegas, trust me, because that is my fucking town, just for, like, 3 or 4 days.
I was so bored.
Right? And that's about it, right? Can you guys agree with me?
3 days in Vegas with Johnny sounds like the weekend of my life.
It's going to be like the fucking movie, The Hangover. And that is with me. If you guys want to go to Vegas with me, I will start a fucking campaign to do it. But what I'm saying is I love it, but I also think that there's a lot of other people in other states that need to hear the message of liberty. And I think that if I leave that state, then I'll be doing an injustice because there's a lot of good people over in my state, which I think I can make a difference and we could change the culture. And so, yeah, I think New Hampshire's a great, and if you want to be part of the Free State Project, I support that 100%, but I also want to say that we have a lot of battles that we got to fight everywhere else. So I think we still need to keep some hardcore libertarians, people who are principled, in other states so we can win this. We can win the war, not the battle. Rock and roll. Thank you.
So I've been having an internal battle with myself because I do like Indianapolis, where I live. It's a great
That's
city.
Sad.
It's well, it's
I'm kidding. I have been. It is a good city.
It is. It's bland and let's say homogenous.
Very much so.
There's, you know, you visit towns
this
like
this became an alt-right leadership panel.
Right.
This happened. How we say homogenous in the movement.
Right. Johnny just spit out his water.
For those not here, Johnny just spit his water out.
So I love my hometown, and all my friends and family are there, and that's really why I wouldn't move. But and my nieces are 2 and 4, and that's like the cute age. And you know, when like 10 years when they're 12 and 14, then we'll take a look at moving. But so I do have these internal battles where I'd like to live somewhere else. And so every time I take one of these trips, I always am like, could I live here? And
spend a week with each League of Liberty member.
Right.
And then you can choose a city.
As I'm sitting on the courthouse steps or the statehouse steps eating a cheeseburger in Concord. Yesterday, not Concord. Concord.
You ate it on the courthouse steps.
It was a stone's throw.
He is a statist.
The visual is.
It was an exaggeration. Let's not get the facts. Get in the way of a good story. And so, I'm in this town that is beautiful and perfect, and I'm like, I could totally live here. And this is a beautiful state, and everybody's been super nice. And I love Boston. I've thought about Boston, too.
Boston is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. There's a lot of great stuff in
Boston. So when my sister and the nieces lived there, I visited Boston a bunch. But then I'm also like, the reason in February of every year, I sit there and go, I want to live where there's sun, because I'm like Mark. I get super depressed in the winter, and it's because of the vitamin D. And Johnny, you gonna do the layup here? I need D.
So by the way, Chris, yeah. You don't look like you go tanning very much.
I know, I know.
But they do have vitamin D pills. You
yeah,
know,
no, I take it, yeah.
Okay, good.
I do, but...
We're so mature, we can't say the letter D without half of us giggling
I know.
To each other and poking each other under the table.
And
Chris,
so...
Chris loves the vitamin D, yes.
And so... Would I move to New Hampshire? 100% yes. Absolutely. Am I going to? It is unlikely because I'd rather live somewhere where there's sun, like maybe a Tucson or an Austin, Texas or St. Augustine, Florida. Am I going to
Very
move?
Specific.
Probably not.
St. Augustine. Specifically St. Augustine, Florida.
If you've ever been, you know why. Dude, it's the oldest city in America. My parents had a condo there growing up.
He's already mapped this shit out.
And so... I, at 5 years old, was giving on these VHS tapes that my parents have, tours of St. Augustine, because it's the oldest continuous city in America, and it's just history for days. So, like, if you love history, you would love St. Augustine. Like, go spend a week there. You still won't see everything. It's kind of like Boston. When you walk around Boston, it's like, oh, there's a plaque that says this is where the telephone was invented. Oh, this is where Ben Franklin took a dump in 1860, whatever. Like... You know, St. Augustine's that same way, where it is, you know, here's the oldest schoolhouse, here's a fort, you know.
I want to know how Ben Franklin took a dump in 1861. I don't think that was going to happen.
He wasn't alive then.
Right.
Don't anyway.
Ben Franklin ate a cheeseburger on these courthouse steps.
Ben Franklin was a magnificent human being who lived a long life. He
made myself snort.
He was best friends with Abraham Lincoln. Yes, that is the answer to your question.
So, are any of you going to support Bill Weld in 2020?
As he walks off.
Fuck that guy in the neck.
Controversial question.
I want to know, Roger.
I want Bill Weld to run because I want to watch the theatrics
Dude,
unfold.
I get so much content from that
want,
shit.
Yes.
I want him to run because I want him back. Content for months.
It will give us so much podcast material. Jesus. I want to see him and Adam Kokesh going at it. I want him to run purely for dramatic purposes.
Okay. Johnny wants to
Johnny's
take a break.
He needs a cigarette.
There's no breaks, folks. No, Johnny. I mean, no. Who am I?
What do you do when we record an hour-long podcast?
He smokes in his house, right.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we can take it. Let me answer the Bill Weld question.
Well, you can just go smoke while we talk about Bill Weld.
I think he might have been facetious. Just saying. I don't know.
I'll give a serious question.
Okay, serious answer.
Probably not. And he, when I saw him speak,
Johnny's going to smoke in the bathroom. This is amazing.
Honestly, Johnny, just go
rock and roll.
Just go stand outside that window, and we'll take a mic over there. Weld has made progress in the last 2 years. He spoke at the Indiana convention, but he still doesn't understand the basics of the philosophy in a lot of ways, and he gave a boring ass. Speech about policy, and Then he gave the old tripe of, I'll bring billionaires, I'll bring money, I'll bring this. I'll
That's
bring.
What he said last
it's,
time.
It's, dude, it's right. what we've heard every single time with every one of these guys. And so,
exactly.
like, to my pragmatist friends that, you know, I cater to more than, obviously, Roger does. Like,
more than.
Obviously.
I just, like, he's uninspiring.
More than 0% Roger does.
In every way. And I... And probably the only podcaster in the movement that would give him a chance. And I was like, hey, can I get an interview? He looked at me and said, I don't think I want to do that right now. It's like, all right, dude.
And then he goes and gets interviewed by Adam Kokesh 10 minutes later. I'm like, you don't know anybody, do you? Like, you have no idea who's who.
I'm the one
this
that
guy
will
probably
give
be
you,
safe.
I'm the one that will give you airtime, and you still don't get it. Like, he's just...
I'd give him airtime.
And he's going to use... Tons. I think he's going
to
use real...
Give him a rope to hang himself on.
So we need a petition to get Bill Weld on Lions of Liberty.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So, but he did give me his...
I like how you took it right away from Chris. You're like, he's like, I'd give maritime. No.
I don't listen to We Are Libertarians anymore, so I can't hear it.
Roger wants to hear it, so...
That's how dare you, sir.
I do not fuck with you, you know.
And I'm going to have Roger as my co-host that episode, too.
I also want to know how one fucks one in the neck.
Through the mouth.
Well, let's say... Let's say one is average.
Johnny liked it. He's halfway outside smoking. Love that joke. Got a thumbs up.
Let's say one is average. How would I then do it? I mean, how would one do it?
How would one do what?
How would
do
one
we really
fuck,
need a
would
visual?
Like, are you cutting someone in the neck
here,
and then fucking
you.
That hole?
Picture
or
this going here.
Okay. Right. You go through
and then
all the way down.
It's in the neck now.
Okay.
I didn't
That's
think
why you got to cut the pork.
It's not rocket science, Chris.
Some Sorry. Of us didn't get the sex education.
We just showed Chris
how blowjobs
work live,
all
right?
Yeah, that's true.
This just happened. The Johnny just made a weird signal over
Johnny,
there.
Okay. Johnny's making the break signal. All right, let's take a break. We're going to talk to the crowd off air. We're going to smack them around, verbally, not physically, Roger.
Unless there's consent involved.
All right, and see if we can't get more a conversation from the audience. So for that, this is the League of Liberty with Chris Spangle, Roger Paxton, Mark Clare, and Johnny Adams. All right, we are back.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, Johnny requested a break to smoke, and the second he requested the break, he finished smoking and walked back into the table.
I wanted another one, dude.
But I've had
smokers just don't smoke one.
In that, right. In that 10-minute break, he had like 4 cigarettes.
Am I going to have to go get you more cigarettes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can do that.
That is why you're here, sir. You're the DD.
You give me a 20. Right? I'll bring you back 2 packs.
That's why. That's why it's always great to hang out with a square.
Yeah. I can drive. I can go.
Chris
get...
Spangle's favorite band is Huey Lewis because it's hip to be square.
No. It's Coldplay. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, that's like I was about to move seats. Goddammit.
That's like this.
You can say taxation isn't theft, but don't say you love Coldplay right, around Roger. Right. That's when he'll get really pissed off.
No, that's like if you're that's the beta band. If you're beta, then you like Coldplay, right?
Okay.
That's the joke.
If you say so.
All right. I enjoy Coldplay though, but I'm not. I promise, I'm not beta, guys. Stop it.
Service here. Whoa, how'd you get a hookup?
Because I'm cool. I'm pretty much the James Bond of libertarian.
He is fucking rock and roll.
Hey, Mark, can you tell your co-hosts to shut the fuck up?
While we're recording? Rude motherfuckers. I'm going to come up here while you guys are recording and talk my ass
off. You guys are violating the NAP right now as I speak. I know it's Howie. I just have to... I have to
No, you weren't.
You your think you were whispering. You
is everyone else's scream.
Yes.
You can just come up and sit and be on a mic, too, if you want. Whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's all right.
You guys should just...
Let's get some questions.
Hard pass. So I am Chris
Spangle has rejected this idea.
I am Chris Spangle of We Are Libertarians. This is Roger Paxton of Lava Flow. That is Mark Clare of Lions of Liberty.
Roar.
And Johnny Adams of Blast Off with Johnny Rocket.
By the way, I'm Johnny Goddamn Rocket.
Johnny Rocket. I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, it's the Lions of Liberty.
Roger fucking Paxton.
I was about to say, that's what the Lions of Liberty guys call me. Roger. I don't know where that came from, but I'll take
it. I call you.
It sounds cool.
It feels right to curse.
The
with your name.
The We Are Libertarians guys call you fucking Roger Paxton. So we just flipped the words.
Well played.
So we have an audience, and there's no sense in talking about us because we can do that anytime. I want to talk to the audience. So who's got questions? Who wants to come on up?
Have some things to
come
say.
On up. When you come up, just introduce yourself. Where you're from? They don't have to be questions about politics or policy. They can be, you know. Roger, what's your shoe size or something like that, in case you want to see if he has small feet and hands?
Cetus Bailey. I'm from Charleston, West Virginia, so I had a pretty long drive up. I listen to Roger quite regularly, so I don't... I don't know a lot about you guys. I'm just interested to know where did you get the fire of liberty?
Nice. Good question.
What's your origin story, Johnny Adams?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was in the People's Republic of Seattle.
Oh, my God.
Right? And it's like red. It bleeds red everywhere. You know, and I was just, I was interested in the ideas of liberty. And I found this guy called Ron Paul. And hell, Ron Paul, right? Give it up.
You mean the
Ron Paul and these two fucking statist, magicians.
The statist that was in Congress, Roger?
Okay, you know what?
Dr. No?
Right.
Yeah, he's a statist. That's fine.
I just think it's funny when people like Roger, like, I love Ron Paul.
Look, Ron Paul got me started in liberty, too. He was one of many that got me on that journey. Now, was he perfect? Of course not. No libertarian's perfect except for me.
But you won't fuck him in the neck? Sorry, I was just teasing Roger.
No, but like these two magicians who did a show called Bullshit inspired me.
Yes.
Penn and Teller. And they broke the fallacies of how things were run. And I'm like, what is this show? And it was libertarian as fuck. And I started watching that show religiously. I started reading about libertarianism. I said, how can I make a difference? And I said, I have a buddy. I was in audio for 10 years and I was in a band for 10 years. And I don't know if you guys like rock and roll. Say yes.
Yeah. So
Chris listens to Coldplay. It's not rock and roll. But I mean, I did rock and roll and I played rockabilly music for years. And you know what? I figured I could take my knowledge of audio and bring it together with the libertarian message. And I'm hoping to change one person at a time. And you know what? The thing is, my passion is to change the common guy down the street. Because Joe Bob, the bartender, or the blue collar mechanic, they don't know shit about libertarianism, their status. And we need a guy like me who can relate to them and make them laugh and have fun and drink a beer and talk about liberty, right? So that's what inspired my passion, and this is why I do what I do, is I want to change one heart, one mind at a time, rock and roll, and one beer at a time.
And just before we get to Mark, you mentioned Penn and Teller. Penn's co-host on Penn Sunday School is here at Porkfest, Matt Donnelly. He's doing a magic show at 5:30, magic. Ooh. And comedy, hillbilly something or other. It's a fucking riot. I've seen it on YouTube, so be done there at 5:30. All of our listening audience.
I'm just thinking about how close and inside of Johnny's mouth this microphone just was, and now it's similarly towards mine. But you know, it's no big deal. We're very uncouth. I apologize. I actually got my start with Liberty with this gentleman in the corner here, Howie Snowden, a friend of mine, who Chris Spangle is feuding with, I believe, over something that happened in a group somewhere.
Chris always feuds with libertarians. Imagine
that's
that.
That's what we do.
I'm generally disagreeable.
Used to, yeah. When I was in college, when we were all in college, these gentlemen all went to college with me and at Penn State University. And we would drink into the wee hours of the night, so a lot has changed, as you can see. And this is the wee hours of the night for me. I've been up a while. And he used to talk about this guy, Ron Paul, because when he was... Howie, do you want to come tell part of the story, since you're here? You were a congressional page at one point, right?
One thing
careful.
I tell. Ron Paul converted me, but one of the books that really converted me was Harry Brown's How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World.
That's true.
And I bought my second old copy, because Mark gave...
Howie's so drunk already.
And it got lost. We got a copy here. We're all going to sign it, and we're going to give it away tomorrow. Yes, we're going to sign it. And we're going to give it away tomorrow at our Lions Liberty Live podcast.
That's not tomorrow. That's in like 4 hours.
And Harry Brown, he's not with us anymore, but he was an amazing libertarian. Him and Ron Paul, amazing effect on us.
So this is how I got started. Him drunkenly ranting like this is you just saw it live. That's why I brought it up. But when he was a congressional page, he met Ron Paul a few times, and he used to tell me about this one congressman he used to meet who. Talk differently than the other ones, and yada, yada, yada. So I ended up looking up this guy's column called Texas Straight Talk, Ron Paul. It's his column he's ran for 20 years or so. And what struck me differently about him was that he was a Republican, but most of the time he spent criticizing Republicans, criticizing foreign policy, criticizing the war on drugs, and that just kind of blew my mind open because that just was not how politics worked before. It was Republicans criticized Democrats, Democrats criticize Republicans, and that's what at least started getting me sort of thinking in a different way and realizing you don't have to think along those lines. And then 9/11 happened, and then I really started thinking about foreign policy more, and I started to dig deeper on that when I saw our response was to invade this country, Afghanistan, that I had barely heard of, and it started me on down a journey of learning a lot more about what our foreign policy really was, how it might affect things, how blowback might actually be a thing, And then 7 or 8 years later, after I already had followed Ron Paul for this whole time, he ran for president, and I went, well, that's weird. I wonder where this is going to go. So I tuned into presidential debates for the first time maybe in my life, and you know, the rest is kind of history, I guess. A lot of us saw that go down, and he basically blew holes through people's reality, through people's perceptions of what is allowable in political debate, to say things on a Republican stage like, of course I want to legalize heroin. Are you guys all going to run out and do heroin if we legalize it tomorrow? Oh, we are. This is the wrong audience. Okay, this crowd is half of you guys are on heroin right now.
Howie has just informed us that heroin's not that bad.
It's all about
alcohol or cigarettes.
I'm so excited for our podcast later. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, but that's what guided me down the path, and that's what I think seeing his boldness on a Republican stage, saying things you're not supposed to say, and I told myself, well, because before libertarianism was a thing I kept to myself. I was the only libertarian I knew. And that's what inspired me.
You still are.
And I still am. And that's what inspired me to sort of go down that path of being vocal about my beliefs just in my real life, years before I even started the podcast. Eventually, I turned that into the podcast, though. That was kind of my inspiration, though. I wanted to talk to more people about the ideas of liberty and then put that conversation out there and not be shy about my beliefs anymore and be bold and you know, talk about shit you're not supposed to talk about.
I think the peeling away of, like, societal shame of, like, saying things that are unpopular, I think that's, like, the key. Like, and that's been a huge part of it for me, too, is, like, saying things that are unpopular. And that, to me, is the bigger struggle for most libertarians than as much as, like, even, like, trying to keep up and learn all the ideology. It's like, I'm going to say this thing that's unpopular. It might put me in a wilderness, and am I ready for that? And I think for the four of us, like, we do it pretty prominently, and it's not that bad. You get like to come to Porkfest when you do that.
Well, one thing you learn when you actually speak boldly all the time, and it takes a while to figure this out, people do actually start to respect you, even if they disagree with you. Because I'll have people that reach out to me that I didn't even know followed what I did or followed anything I said, and they'll say, hey, just so you know, I do actually follow a lot of what you say, and you've actually made me think about things differently. And they're not the ones commenting on Facebook. They're right. Only the ones you hear about offline sometimes.
And it's
the casual lurker on Facebook.
Right. Like the high school friends, too. You know, the people that, the high school friends on your Facebook who go, hey, I never saw that point of view.
I didn't have friends in high school.
Well, one could debate if you have them now, but.
Well, you know, I've got 5,000 of them in New Hampshire.
No, I want to say that you guys are right. I mean, it's about making a statement, and you can be bold about it and be an asshole. And I mean, I think that's how we get our point across. I mean, like, I know that we love Arvin Vora, one of the most principled libertarians.
Boo. He was speaking at 10 o'clock this morning at the main pavilion.
But he is. But like, hear me. I know how he loves that fucking guy. But what I want to say is I respect his principles. I just don't respect how he messaged that, his message, his methods. There's a method behind his madness, right? Is that how it works?
Or a madness behind his methods. I don't know.
But I'm just saying, though, we need principled libertarians. And I think that is what keeps this organization or our movement alive.
I think I agree with you on that one.
I think you do. But if we don't have principled libertarianism, and this is what we're trying to teach, is foundational principled libertarianism. If you want to take a step back and go, maybe that's too crazy for me right now, you can, and you're still cool. But as soon as you start wanting this, Howie, what the fuck, man?
Is he on shrooms? I mean, I don't know what the hell this dude is doing. Jesus.
I totally agree. We do need personal libertarians, but they need to think. They need to think before they speak and put something out for the fucking mass. I probably think Arvin's a great dude, but when you're putting something out as a spokesman, don't disenfranchise fucking everyone.
Dude, Howie got, just so you guys know, Howie apparently is having a really good time because he is slurring his words like a son of a bitch. That is awesome. Let's see what time it is. It's 12:30, and he's been slurring his words for like 2 hours.
It's joy.
We're recording a drinking podcast in 6.5 hours.
He's not going to make it.
Yeah,
bruh.
This is going to be fun.
Is he on your team? Is Howie on your team, Mark?
I want you to know you have to.
I will win.
He's gonna get his second win here in a little bit.
you don't win by starting before the contest begins.
Listen, whiskey challenges.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dead air for our podcast. You're, nobody can hear you, Howie. You don't have a mic.
Roger.
His voice carried, man. Okay. It's cool.
Roger,
awesome.
Roger Paxton, what?
People who drink all day win whiskey challenges, as per Howie Snowden.
Roger Paxton, what is your origin story?
Another news, Lions Liberty podcast is canceled.
So, you know, she's already heard mine, but I'll do it for the rest of the audience. So, you know, I started off as a neocon conservative, Pentecostal preacher, and all this crazy shit. And, you know, I was raised that way by my mother, and I thought that she was, you know, that she knew everything. So, and then when I learned out that she did, when I found out she didn't know everything, a lot changed. I actually first heard about Ron Paul in about 1996 or so, and I thought, yeah, he's got some great ideas. He's a little crazy on that war on drugs, and, you know, we got to have borders, right? You know, I thought he was a little nuts, but I kept, you know, kept watching what he was doing, and because I like a contrarian, imagine that.
Yeah. So, you don't say.
Right. So it was fun to watch him over the years. And then I picked up Atlas Shrugged. I had never read it before, and a good friend of mine recommended it. And I named my dog Dagny, and that's why Atlas is my radio handle. And that book not only changed the way I looked at politics and the way that things are done and the way that interactions between human beings are done, and it also changed the way I looked at religion quite a bit as well. So I really, that started the rabbit hole. And within a year, I was a libertarian, and then I like to say that Murray Rothbard turned me into an anarchist, and here we are.
Yeah. So for my part, I grew up love politics, and I grew up in a very Republican household, and so obviously started Republican, and was pretty influenced by all the Clinton stuff, and I just thought Democrats were the worst thing ever. But I was really just anti-left, and I wasn't. And that's the thing about a lot of conservatives, they're anti-left, or a lot of leftists are anti-right. And you don't really know what you believe. And so I went on to become the president of the College Republicans. I was very impacted by 9/11 as well. Changed many of my fundamental worldviews in a lot of ways, or set off chains that eventually led to a total change in my thinking in terms of religion and politics. Went to work for the College Republicans. I was the chair for the local chapter in 2004 during that Bush election. I almost got impeached because I thought that Bush's immigration policy, opening up immigration, was a good thing, and I didn't care if gay people got married, and they were like, we can't have you as chair. You're like liberty too much. But I wasn't. I would say that I was libertarian leaning, but I didn't understand what libertarian meant. I had heard the word because of Neil Bortz, because I was a huge talk radio fan. And then I went on to volunteer. Instead of working for Mitch Daniels, I worked for a guy named Andy Horning, who ran for Congress. And Andy was a libertarian who had switched parties to run for the Republicans. And he really was the first person who kind of explained libertarianism to me. This is one of the reasons that I've always said, like, libertarian campaigns do a lot of good, because they impress libertarian values on their campaign volunteers, the people that they talk to. And went on to starting to question a lot of stuff. Then I went to work at a local talk radio station, and I basically worked with this independent conservative named Abdul Hakim Shabazz. And every time I would say anything I had heard on Rush Limbaugh that day, he would completely dismiss it and tell me why I was an idiot and why I was wrong. And so by the end of that 4 years, I was just really like, I don't believe anything. I don't know what I believe. I don't have any. Like, you're just kind of left without a party. You're left without an ideology. And you're just kind of in that weird mix of, I have these things that I think I believe, but I don't really have any facts to support any of them. And then I was working as a reporter, and I started talking to some libertarians and started reading up on it. And the one hang up I had was on foreign policy, because, again, the 9/11 thing. And seeing Ron Paul in the 2008 debates really made me go, oh, okay, I see what the libertarian point of view is on this in a clear way. And went to work for the Libertarian Party, and that's kind of all she wrote, because once you kind of get in on that train heading in that direction, you end up years later, a decade later, looking back at yourself, and I listen to some of those old shows that I was on WXNT and go, that person was an idiot. You know, and part of the reason that I started the podcast was, A, I've always wanted to have my own talk show, but B, teaching libertarianism, teaching libertarian thought on modern current events really teaches you. Teaching is a great way to learn, because when you're learning how to what you're going to say, like, I feel a lot of pressure when I open the mic. Like, I feel a lot of pressure to say things that are truth, things that are.
The doctor says that to you too. You're going to feel a little bit of pressure.
Right, yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of responsibility. And so I always try to show my work too, you know, because I could be wrong, Roger.
You could be, yeah.
Yeah.
But just to be clear, there's a reason why I started the Lava Flow podcast, and the last couple of minutes is why.
Oh, wow.
I don't understand.
Okay.
What was all the giggling about as I was trying to...
Oh, we were talking about the vape pen.
Oh, okay.
I didn't figure out how to work the damn thing.
I was giggling at Johnny's giggling.
I couldn't figure out how to work the vape pen, so, you know, whatever.
Vape pen hard. Me
this
not.
Is what you're going to smoke.
Well, it's got holes on both ends. I've never seen one with holes on both ends.
Yeah.
So we have any more
I thought you
questions?
Had kids.
Two.
All right, boys.
Okay, we got another question.
All right, come on up. What's your name and where are you from?
I'm Joe Roberts from the seacoast of New Hampshire.
Yes.
Yes, Joe Roberts.
That's speaking. I live in the seacoast as well.
Yeah, it's a good area. Let's bring it back to Porkfest. What is your favorite thing so far at Porkfest, or what are you looking forward to? We know Johnny likes the open bar. Mark's loving the yoga.
I got an answer. Will Coley's chicken shawarma.
Yes. Ooh, I heard that was amazing.
Seriously, check the shit out. Cultural Appropriation Grill. I should get like a commission. Yeah, it's an awesome name. He makes amazing food.
That is what we need to open
my favorite thing
Will Coley
so
far. Already opened it up, so license it from him.
My favorite thing so far has been making fun of Roger to his face.
Amen to that. Look, Chris and I have a lot of respect for each other, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no.
We have fun with it.
No, it's meeting these guys and talking to these guys have been
well,
the
that's
best
a great
part,
thing. Is Chris and I have known each other longer than you know any of these other guys. We met, was 2011.
Yeah.
And,
fucking chop liver. Thanks.
Right. Fuck these two. So Chris and I go way back.
My least favorite thing is Brett Bittner's here now.
Yes. boo Brett Bittner. So what's the thing you're most looking forward to for Porkfest?
Seeing if Howie Snowden survives.
I'm sorry. Drunk. I can't hear you over Johnny.
I know.
Again, I'm handing Chris Spangle a brownie, and it's going to be a brownie, he thinks, and it's going to be more than a brownie.
Well, you're not supposed to tell people when you violate their nap. You're just supposed to do it.
That's what's going to make it better.
Roger is not going to
get away with
it. I thought the one violating their nap would be Chris this week, not you.
Yeah, how dare you?
He's just going to wake up with like grass stains on his knees and shit. You know?
So back to the question, since Johnny
I'm trying to work that out in my head and how that... the thing I'm most looking forward to literally is, will Howie Snowden survive? I'm not sure, because he's pretty toasty as is.
No,
I'm excited
he's
to see...
He's my roommate also, so I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I'm everything. Excited to see Brett and Morgan. They moved out to Boston, and I haven't seen them in a few months. I'm excited to meet Johnny and Mark and just spend more time with you guys, and then meeting new people like Joe, new podcaster. Have you started your podcast yet?
Not yet. Should be out by the end of the year. Making moves, getting things together.
Is that what it's called?
Yes, it's called Making Moves.
.com.
Making Moves, Getting Things Together. .com. Look it up, everybody.
So yeah, I mean, for me, it's all about people. I just enjoy meeting and hanging out.
Well, and you know, Jess and I have been coming for years, and we almost never go to the talks and those kind of things because that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to see my libertarian family and make a bigger family and meet new people every year. That's what it's about for me. It's about the connections.
Making a bigger family. Is that what happens in the tent at night, Roger?
You know what's great about Porkfest? There was a rave thrown by teenagers last night.
Yes.
There was.
That's what's great about Porkfest.
Yes. It was. It was
literally ecstasy from them. Just kidding.
It was.
But I tried. That's not a joke.
I'm not surprised.
I was trying to dance last night.
Yes, he was. While he was grabbing my ass, full on.
And no, my girlfriend's. She's sitting there like, okay, we're going. You're not doing this again. No, I'm not hip anymore. Apparently, I figured that shit out really quick. But what I look forward to Porkfest is actually. The back massage booth on—I don't know where that is, but it's in.
Across the cultural appropriation grill.
Agora
Valley.
Agora Valley. Right across the street. But no, I'm looking forward to that. That is awesome because she doesn't have a license.
Yeah, She might break your back, Johnny. Be very careful. She could break your back.
The most libertarian thing said on this podcast is, I think she's going to do great because she doesn't have a license. That's our mentalities, like, totally different.
Yeah, for sure.
Because she can.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she's great.
So, any other questions from the audience? Anything?
Yeah, come on up.
Okay,
we're
got another one coming up.
All right, be sure to state your name and where you're from,
and who you give money to.
Tyler Colford from Southern Vermont. And what's your? It's kind of a selfish plug right now, but what's your favorite music genre? And
this guy.
Do you dig hip hop or metalcore?
It used to be classic rock, but when Tyler started giving us $25 a month and on Patreon, it became hip hop,
metalcore, and
what was it you said?
Metalcore.
Yeah, now it's that. I'm easily bought out.
I bet we could figure out what Johnny's favorite music genre is.
Classical.
Yeah, of course it is. Right,
very much a Chopin guy.
Yeah,
love Chopin, love Mozart, and actually. Believe it or not, actually, it's jazz for me. I listen to jazz all the time, and I do like rock and roll. But there's a very weird, crazy mix in my house.
Yeah,
if she comes over, I play jazz. When she's not there, I play fucking rockabilly, psychobilly.
Nice.
My girlfriend Jennifer Janston, without a T. Like people,
there's going to be stalkers now.
Just in case you want to Venmo her.
So I just, yeah, she got a plug now. But when I'm, no, they can't see. But there's going to be a video on YouTube, and I know it. And it's going to be fucking incriminating. Fuck you if you're recording. But that's cool. I love you. Rockabilly, rock and roll, old school rock and roll. I think that's where the foundations of what we have now. So your metalcore and the classical music wouldn't have existed without fucking rock and roll.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And that's what it's about, man. But rock and roll is great. You know why? Because it makes you fucking, like, say, fuck the world. That's the mentality we got to have to change it.
Definitely.
And they were the first fucking rebels, man. And those guys broke every rule. And that is why I love those guys. The rock and rollers, man.
America. I mean, I asked this because I also go by Crypto Man in a rap group, Jinx Inc. I gave a CD to Mark and Johnny Rocket.
Johnny's in my hotel room. And on the picnic table. But
these are for you guys.
Oh,
thank
that
you.
Is
appreciate
fantastic,
it. Yeah.
Dude.
Okay, so Mark Claire just threw me under the bus. Thank you.
I've never heard of metalcore. I do like hip hop though. I enjoy Coldplay. That's my favorite.
As we've been over, Coldplay guy.
I like
nice callback.
I work at a classic rock station, and so classic rock I spend most of my day with it, so you really start falling for it and how great it is. I love jazz too. I love 50s and 60s soul. Even a little 70s soul is really great. And the Beatles. I mean, the Beatles are my all-time favorite band.
Well, we were talking that one night. We liked Nickelback. We really liked.
Yeah.
They
look at
really
this
cool.
photograph.
Oh, I'm in the wrong I'm at the wrong table. So my musical tastes are anything from, you know, Adele to Tool. So I mean I'm wide variety as well. But speaking of music, if you haven't gotten Backwards album, Veracity, Jesus, dude, I'm gonna plug it. Are you serious?
I mean
Eric July and his group just fucking killed it on that album. And they are going to be here tonight at 8 o'clock putting on a hell of a show. Tomorrow night. Unless it rains, because now it looks like it might rain during that. So.
I'm sad. I wish that Mark would be able to remember that concert, but he won't. Other questions?
I'll remember tomorrow. It's tonight that's going to be trouble.
One of my volunteers just walked in. I thought there was a fucking emergency. I was about to freak out. We've had an interesting few days at Pork
Atlas.
Fest.
We need Atlas.
I keep thinking he's Judd Weiss. Like he
kind of does have that look a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
He's like the poor Judd Weiss when he lets it all go.
He's the poor man's Judd Weiss.
Hair, by the way, for the record. Came across bad.
God damn it.
I meant with longer hair.
Good call.
Yeah. Any other questions? Come on. Don't be shy.
Let's end it before Howie comes up with a question.
Right.
Yeah, all right.
Hurry the fuck up.
All right. Are you guys...
I know Johnny
needs a cigarette.
I need a fuck.
The question is, can we get our sign off right live?
Yes. I've been podcasting for 3 hours. I'm tired and hungry, so let's start wrapping this up before I get cranky.
Liberty.
Fuck yeah!
Oh, my God!
We did it!
We got it! Thank you so much,
guys.
Thanks, guys. That's fun. Jeez.